This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. I'm Caleb Brown. In opposing the nomination of an attorney for a federal judgeship, some U.S. senators, all attorneys themselves, appear to betray a stunning lack of knowledge about how the criminal justice system actually works. Cato's Clark Neely comments.
Let's start with some basic background here. Who is Nina Morrison?
Nina Morrison is a senior attorney at the Innocence Project, where she and her colleagues try to exonerate people using DNA evidence, people who've been falsely convicted of crimes they did not commit.
Now, let's be clear about what the Innocence Project, like the sort of raison d'etre of the Innocence Project, is to discover who was falsely convicted and using a technique that developed in, I believe, the 1980s. DNA evidence to exonerate those people, and they're up to kind of a stunning number of people that have been exonerated through DNA evidence.
Yeah, about 300 people. The Innocence Project has exonerated using DNA and other scientific techniques so that there's really virtually no doubt about the innocence of the people whom they have exonerated. And it's a horrifying statistic, particularly when you understand just how much effort our system puts into discouraging that kind of post-conviction exoneration. So we know to a certainty that this is merely the tip of a very large iceberg.
So there has been pushback and from a few Republicans, notably Ted Cruz of Texas, Tom Cotton of Arkansas, and Josh Hawley of Missouri. They are critical of her, and I believe at least one of those senators used the phrase soft on crime. And this was in, if I'm not mistaken, direct relation to her work getting the, again, wrongfully imprisoned out of prison.
You know, it's not entirely clear. What is clear is that it is a scurrilous and clownish attack on a highly qualified judicial nominee. And not surprisingly, they really didn't spell out exactly, you know, what they were criticizing her about. And they really kind of conflated two aspects of Nina Morrison's background. One is the work that she's done to exonerate people who were falsely convicted. But she also had done some work with transition teams for a number of so-called progressive prosecutors, working on the their policy with regards to conviction integrity. In other words, making sure that they're doing a good job of identifying cases where they may have falsely convicted someone. And, you know, somehow in the minds of Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, that somehow equates to a soft on crime stance. As I said, I think it's a fundamentally buffoonish, scurrilous attack on a person of tremendous integrity who's been incredibly effective at exonerating people. And something to keep in mind is, if anybody's being soft on crime, it's somebody who thinks we should continue to imprison someone who's been falsely convicted, because in addition to that injustice, guess what else is happening? The actual perpetrator is still out there going around committing more crimes. So if you are, if you condemn somebody whose work, life's mission is identifying innocent people and getting them exonerated, guess what happens when the police realize that they have convicted an innocent person? They go and start looking for the actual perpetrator, and oftentimes that person is caught. I believe of the 300 or so people who've been exonerated by the Innocence Project, the police were actually able to identify the actual perpetrator in about 165 of those cases. So it's actually, in my judgment, Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley who are soft on crime, because they want falsely convicted people apparently to stay in prison and allow the actual perpetrators to continue committing crimes on the outside. So perhaps they should look in the mirror.
I want to clarify one thing. Ted Cruz did say that the Innocence Project had, quote, done good work on behalf of people who were wrongly convicted, end quote, who he added should be released. That's from Reuters. There is a broader conception of what people who work on behalf of criminal defendants, I see ads for judges or prosecutors running for office, or people who are running for an office that is not involved in the criminal justice system. Their previous work, if they have been a defense attorney, especially a criminal defense attorney, they are attacked for providing that vigorous defense for criminal defendants.
Right. Well, I mean, it's obviously there's so much of this, it's almost purely political, right? It doesn't really matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your qualifications are. It just matters that you're a nominee that was put up by the wrong team. And so, you know, in the sort of the politics of personal destruction that is so much a part of modern life, you just pick up any weapon you can to bash somebody who's from the wrong team. And think about how vital it is in our system that we have people who make sure that the government dots every I and crosses every T before they convict somebody of a crime and incarcerate them. The system simply cannot work if you don't have highly capable, dedicated people representing people who've been accused of crimes to make sure that the government does it right. And I'll tell you, even with our purportedly adversarial system, with some incredibly capable defense lawyers, you know, essentially holding the government's feet to the fire, you would be horrified at how sloppy and cavalier the process often still manages to become.
What is the difference in how former prosecutors are treated and people who work on behalf of either the wrongfully convicted or criminal defendants more broadly?
Oh, it's night and day. In a judicial confirmation, former prosecutors are treated with kid gloves. They're not asked, for example, about past misconduct that they may have committed. They're not asked if they've done things like threaten people with horrific trial penalties in order to coerce them into pleading guilty, or threaten to indict people's family members just to exert plea leverage, which is absolutely routine in our system. They're not asked any of those kinds of questions. They're just, you know, as I said, treated with kid gloves and kind of ushered through the process. It's very, very easy. There's probably no other judicial nominee that is easier to confirm to the bench than a former prosecutor. By contrast, as we've seen, anybody who has represented criminal defendants or worked to exonerate the falsely convicted, they go through the meat grinder. The alleged conduct of their clients is thrown in their face and in some way kind of attributed to them as if they condone that conduct simply because they played a role in an adversarial system representing somebody. So it really couldn't be more different. Prosecutors are ushered through the system, you know, like royalty, and not really carefully scrutinized in terms of possible past misconduct or the way in which they went about their work. And then anybody who's worked on the other side of that, for defendants in our system, is hauled over the coals and attributed the their own client's conduct attributed to them as if they were somehow endorsed or condoned it.
There was a moment here, this is from Esquire, in which Ms. Morrison noted that there was compelling evidence that an executed man in a death penalty case in Arkansas had been innocent of the crime. And Tom Cotton, at one point during the discussion, was said, quote, compelling evidence that the court somehow overlooked for 20 years? That's a question, sort of an incredulous question presented to her. And that's just sort of a shocking response for anyone who follows this in any specificity at all.
Well, that's right. So the man who was executed in that case, Liddell Lee, we don't know for sure whether he was innocent, but as you say, there's been recently tested DNA evidence from the murder weapon that does not belong to him, which raises real questions about the accuracy of that conviction. But as you point out, the real story here is there's a sitting United States senator who doesn't seem to realize that false convictions in our system are absolutely routine and that the system itself fights like crazy to prevent those false convictions from coming to light. It is extraordinarily difficult for a convicted defendant to obtain post-conviction release, and we would absolutely expect to see the courts systematically overlooking this evidence for decades. And not only would we expect it, we know that it happens. It's a documented fact. But, you know, we've got these senators like Tom Cotton, Ted Cruz, and Josh Hawley who live in this kind of fantasy land where, you know, the courts hardly ever make mistakes, prosecutors never engage in misconduct, and anybody who disagrees with that is soft on crime. And it's preposterous. That's not how the system operates, and would be very helpful if people in positions of power like a senator's would be more conscientious about the importance of a criminal justice system that produces accurate results and that we can all have confidence in terms of the way that it operates. And I do not believe that that's a fair description of our criminal justice system as it is today.
Clark Neely is Senior Vice President for Legal Studies at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and give a rating to the Cato Daily Podcast on your podcast platform of choice. And follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.